We come again tonight to Psalm 119, and we read the portion from verse 65 through to verse 72. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Amen. May God give the blessing to the reading of his precious word. Well, tonight we come to the 68th verse. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Dear congregation, we see this great truth presented to us here in this verse, that God is good. And we, dear brothers and sisters, have benefited much from the goodness of the Lord. And are we not humbled for his goodness, which to us is seen as special, common to all, as we see in Psalm 145, verse 9, but special to the elect, special to us. And we're humbled in view of it, but also thankful. And as we see here tonight in verse 68, with faith exercised in the heart, do not we desire to know a fresh manifestation of the Lord's goodness, that we would be taught from his word. Well, in considering the goodness of the Lord, the humble and hungering Christian will be found praying for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that the word would be applied to the heart, and that having the word applied to the heart would be stirred, and then they would be found running the way of God's commandments. Thou art good and doest good, teach me thy statutes. Well, tonight, first of all, let's consider God is good. And then secondly, teach me to do good. Teach me to do good. Well, first of all tonight, God is good. Thou art good and doest good. The Lord is good. Remember those words in John 10 of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Such a wonderful shepherd. And are we not blessed to be in his presence tonight and recognize afresh the goodness of the Lord? Thou art good. Now consider here, the psalmist is addressing the Lord here in this psalm. Thou art good. And right at the outset, as we think that the Lord is good and as we go on to consider his goodness, it's good often to tell the Lord that he is good. Yes, he is good, but let's tell him, thou art good. We've taken note of the storm that has come through over recent hours. After the storm, there came the clear sunshine. And we can tell the Lord that he is good when it's fair weather for us. But let's also, when it's stormy, tell the Lord that he is good. Thou art good. We're helped to address the Lord here. And as we think of addressing the Lord here and considering the goodness of the Lord, does this not benefit our souls? It's good to stop and consider the Lord's goodness. Thou art good. He is infinitely, independently, and unchangeably good. There's no bounds to his goodness, no limits, infinite in his goodness. He is independently good. What does that mean? He does not depend on any other for his goodness. If we do that which is good, it is because of the Lord. Remember those words, without me ye can do nothing. And so the good that we do through the help of the Holy Spirit is because of the Lord. Because of him we're found doing good. But when we consider God, he is independently good. He depends on none other. He is good. Infinitely, independently good, and unchangeably good. He will never change. He is good. There will be no fluctuation in his goodness. He's always been good, and he's been good to you today. He will be good to you tomorrow, and throughout all eternity, because he is unchangeably good. The Lord is good. Thou art good. There's a note of praise. And when you consider the goodness of the Lord, let me tell you, you'll be able to say this again and again, because he will not change. He is infinitely good. In Psalm 147, verse 7, we read, they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. They shall. Here's a prophecy there. They're called to mind the goodness of the Lord, and they will sing of his goodness, but also particularly there of his righteousness. It's good to call to our minds the goodness of the Lord. I do not know how the day has gone for you, but let's just pause tonight and consider God. He is good. He never fails us nor forsakes us. He is good. With the psalmist we can say, my heart and my flesh faileth, but God does fail me never. He is good. Now just note this word good here in verse 68. The Hebrew is to be, and it speaks of, as translated here, as good or pleasant, agreeable. There's no ill. You think of God. He is good, pleasant. There's no ill. He is holy and pure. Well, as we begin to open this up a little further tonight, first of all, we consider his absolute goodness. Just note these words. Thou art good. In a moment, we'll consider his relative goodness. How he, in his great mercy and favour, does us good. But let's consider, first of all, in the first half of this here, his absolute goodness. That is, his essential goodness of his nature. He is infinitely good in himself. To begin to understand God, his essence, his nature, we are led to consider he is good. There is the perfection of his nature. He is so pure, so holy. There's no ill. He is good. Well, as we think of his goodness, we think of his favour, kindness, and love. He is good. We think of favour. A God who is of infinite favour, kindness, mercy, and love. His absolute goodness, his essential goodness of his nature. He is infinitely good. There's no bounds. Thou art good. We feel our sin in the presence of such a God who is infinitely good. Now, as already mentioned, his goodness is seen as common to all, but then special towards his people. In Psalm 145, verse 9, we read, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. He's good to all. There we consider his goodness, which is distinguished there as common. The Lord is good to all. He provides for man and beast. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, but so few do. yet he is good to all. How he provides. He sends the sun and the rain. The Lord is good to all. However, his goodness is seen as special towards his people. Just think again of his grace. What favour towards the elect. What mercy. What love. Well, as we think that he is good, we consider his goodness. The Reverend John Brown of Haddington writes, God's goodness is the delightful excellency and the grace, mercy and bounty of his nature and the favours to creatures flowing therefrom. Thou art good. Just a little further as we think of the Lord's goodness. We think of his moral goodness. Just turn with me to Psalm 25 and verse 8. Psalm 25 and verse 8. And you'll see where we are here. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. Good and upright. So holy. So just. We're led to consider that the Lord is upright as we consider his commands. He is good. Think of the Ten Commandments. Are we not led to consider the moral goodness of God? Well, it's good to stop them and consider the Lord. And as we consider him and his dealings with us, are we not soon led to consider that he is good? Well, let's think then of his absolute goodness. Thou art good. We come now to consider his relative goodness. Well, what does that mean? The goodness he bears to that which he has made. And we see that here, don't we? Thou art good and doest good. We particularly consider how the Lord acts. Yes, he acts in such great goodness as we think of his absolute goodness. But then as we think of his relative goodness, how he is good to man and beast. And then in a special way, as we have seen, towards his people. Consider, as we did on the Lord's Day morning, how he watches over the sparrows. His relative goodness. Not one of them falls to the ground without him knowing. But then consider how he does you good. Thou art good and doest good. Consider his dealings with you tonight. How he has led you. How he has supported you. Thou doest good. Let's just open this up a little further tonight. Thou doest good. Let's consider again his grace. How he has saved you. How he has supported you by his grace. How he leads you on. His guiding grace. Thou doest good. And think of his love. So special. And in great love he has come and done you good. He supported you. In his love, he's drawn near to you in his love. You enjoy the love of your spouse, your family, or a friend. And you see tokens of their love. Consider the love of God. Or does it not speak of his goodness towards you? And then think of his mercy, his compassion. That is so good, isn't it? Oh, in such mercy he came near to us. In such pity, he forgives our sins. In such compassion, he helps us. He's so compassionate. Think of his compassionate hands to support and to assure you. As we see in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. So compassionate are his hands. He's so good. He supports us with one hand and assures us of his love with the other. His right hand doth embrace me. Think of his hands. How he deals with you. How he loves you and supports you and embraces you. You think of a mother. Her compassionate hands. When the child is upset. Come over here. Sit on my lap. And the mother rocks the little child to and fro. My mother often used to put her hands on me, the compassionate hands. Maybe the compassionate hands of the husband when the wife is upset. But all consider the Lord's compassionate hands. He's so good, isn't he? How he supports you. At times you may feel you're fainting, but along comes the Lord's hand. He's so good, and he supports the hands hang down, that is our hands, but he comes along and lifts our spirits. He draws us near and assures us of his love. Oh, the compassionate hands of the Lord. We thought of his grace, his love, and his pity, his compassion, and therefore his compassionate hands. He is good. Think of the Lord's dealings with you. In favour, in mercy, and in love, you can say one thing and only one thing. The Lord is good. Can I tell you something tonight? You have no disappointments with God, have you? Like me, you may have disappointments with yourself. But when we consider God, you've got no disappointments, have you? He hasn't been unfair to you. He's been good to you. Such favour you have known, such mercy, such love. We can but say, thou art good. Thou hast done good to me. Thou art good. I know a little of thy absolute goodness because of thy relative goodness. How thou hast dealt with me shows that goodness is such an essential part of his nature. Let's move on and consider providence. It's holy and wise, isn't it? No mistakes in the providence of God. So wise, isn't it? It's good. As we think of it being holy, it's good. And some providences can be dark and mysterious. And some providences, the unfolding of providence, that is, can be so challenging. We may be in the dark on a certain area. What's the Lord doing? I know he's watching over. I know he's governing in his most holy and wise providence. I know he's preserving. But what's happening? But having said this, when we consider God and his providence, we recognize it is good. It is good. He makes no mistakes. What an aid that is to face the future, isn't it? He makes no mistakes. His providence is good. And we know it's good, as the Apostle Paul did. In Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It works together for good. Why? Because God is God. Well, we consider the goodness of God's providence, but then the goodness of God's redemption. God planned redemption in such wisdom, and he sent his only begotten Son. Christ came and accomplished redemption for you. He's the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. John chapter 10. And then it is applied through the Holy Spirit. Titus 3 verse 5. Oh, think of the Lord's dealings. How he drew you to himself. How he saved you. Justified you. There was sanctification. And now that ongoing work of sanctification. There was adoption. You can consider how he preserves you in redemption. How you'll be delivered from sin and death. And then the redemption of the body. Glorification at the great day. Romans 8 verse 23. The Lord is good, isn't he? Just think of justification, that part. All your sins were forgiven. The Lord is good. You were accepted as righteous because of the righteousness of Christ imputed. Is not the Lord good? Oh, think of providence, think of redemption. Thou art good. We've got no complaints, have we? That the Lord saved us. We've got no complaints that the Lord justified us. We've got no complaints that the Lord adopted us, sanctified us, and that ongoing work of sanctification. No complaints have we. Thou art good. But let's go a little further. How he provides. Thou doest good. His relative goodness towards us. Nehemiah recognized this. You remember he was before King Artaxerxes. He had made a brief prayer. And now he's asking for provision. And in Nehemiah 2 verse 8 we read this. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. There's the request, part of it rather. And then we read this. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. The good hand. How the Lord provided. Provision, so that Nehemiah could go and there would be a rebuilding work. The walls would be built. How the Lord provides. He provides all our needs. Our daily bread, my God shall supply all your needs. He is good. Then he opens his hand and we are benefited through his goodness. He opens his hand and we are fed. We are provided for. Consider all that you have. All the food you have eaten. The Lord is good. The homes you live in. The clothes you wear. The warm coats we can put on. The Lord is good. So great is his faithfulness. He provides in his goodness towards us. How he leads you and guides you. He doth good. How good God is. Now just consider his absolute goodness. He is infinitely good. And his relative goodness. How we have known certain things because of the goodness of the Lord. And he bestows. Oh, there's so much more to come. We've only touched the surface. We've just received just a little of what the Lord is going to bestow upon us. Let's be thankful. Psalm 106 verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to God. It's right and proper, isn't it? And you mothers, you've taught your children to say thank you. It's lovely to hear children saying, thank you. How the Lord loves to hear his children say, I thank thee. Let's thank the Lord tonight, for he is good. For he is good, for his mercy endure forever. There's the psalmist, he's thinking of the mercy of the Lord, and he's led to consider the goodness, and he gives thanks. Let us be thankful, but then secondly here, let us trust him. As we think of the future, let us trust him. And does not the psalmist do so in Psalm 23 verse 6? As he looks to the future, having considered the past, he says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, he knows it to be so. He looks to the Lord. He has faith in him. He believes the word and says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The goodness and mercy of the Lord will follow, or it can be translated from the Hebrew as pursue. He who is infinitely good will pursue you in his goodness and in his mercy. Trust him then. On one of my grandparents' wedding anniversaries, I can't remember which one it was, but I believe they were in their 80s. I'll find out later. I was asked to give a few words as being the oldest grandson, and I spoke of their lives and their faith. And I read these words to the congregation that was gathered. How good is the God we adore, our faithful and changeable friend. His love is as great as his power, and knows neither measure nor end. For Christ is the first and the last. His Spirit will guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that is to come. And we can trust God because he's good, infinitely good, unchangeably good. You can trust him. And you can say tomorrow, thou art good. Oh, dear brethren, we have tasted of the Lord's goodness. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Taste and see. We have, haven't we? We've tasted already. We've received and we've contemplated and we've noted. You have a meal. You may come to the pudding and it's a chocolate pudding. You ladies, some of you love chocolate puddings. And you take a bite of the chocolate pudding and you relish it. You think on it. Oh, consider the Lord. You've tasted. He is good. You've received. You've known. Well, know again. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Go and taste again. Taste tonight. Taste tomorrow. Taste next week if the Lord spares. And you'll discover afresh that the Lord is good. My mother used to make lemon rang pies. I loved lemon rang pies. I still do. Only my mother could make them as she did. And I used to love to taste the lemon rang pie. And I knew it was good. A few weeks later, I have another one. And I taste it again. And I would taste and I knew it was good. And I would keep on doing so. Well, keep on tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Oh, how important it is to go and taste. To go and taste again. And well, how blessed we are. We can keep tasting that the Lord is good. Well, as we draw to a close tonight, does this not humble us? As we think of the Lord's goodness that is bestowed to us. He's infinitely good. And then he bestows goodness, his relative goodness towards us. Does it not humble us? Why should we receive of the Lord's goodness in a special way? We think of his goodness in a common way. The Lord is good to all. But oh, we receive his goodness in a special way. Does it not humble us? He's chosen you and me to know benefits of his special goodness. Well, as we close then, secondly, teach me to do good. Teach me to do good. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me. Now, because of the Lord's goodness, men are taught. Now, just pause here. Because of the Lord's goodness, the glorious gospel is heard. And it's heard in the ear of the elect. It's of the Lord's goodness. Now just think of this. Just consider one form of outreach when we go into the open air. And the gospel is preached. And people hear. Well, that's because of the Lord's goodness, isn't it? Oh, what a blessing we heard and we know. The joyful sound, Psalm 89, verse 15. It's the Lord's goodness being revealed when the gospel is heard, when men are taught the word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me. Thou hast been good to me in times past. Thou hast taught me. Oh, for a fresh manifestation of the Lord's goodness. Teach me again. Not only I would hear the word, but I would be taught through the Holy Spirit in my heart. John Gill writes, as a fresh instance of God's goodness, thou art good and doest good. Teach me. See how it follows on there. Show me thy goodness again. Draw near to my heart and teach me through thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. But then further, he wants to follow the word. He wants to do that which is good. He desires the Lord in his goodness to draw near and teach him. But he himself now wants to follow God's word, the statutes, and therefore do that which is good. It's an interesting verse in Micah 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We think of God's revealed will. Oh, we can turn to the word of God. He showed us what is good, and what doth the Lord require. The psalmist knows that the book is good, and so do we. It's good, isn't it? It's good for our soul. It's a great blessing. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me then. In thy goodness, teach me that I might do that which is good. Show me thy paths, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Teach me, Lord. Now this theme of teaching is throughout this psalm. And often the psalmist prays to be taught. Do not we often pray, Lord, teach me. Teach me again and again. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Teach me. Thou art good, teach me. Because I want to do good. I want to be doing good in every area of my life. Oh, to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. Oh, to be at his feet, listening to him. Oh, to be more like the good shepherd, who is meek and lowly in heart. Well, having considered then the goodness of God, do not we desire to do that which is right? Do not we desire to follow the word? Well, may the Lord help us for his name's sake. Amen. Let us come to the Lord in prayer.